Congress only gave you funding until December 9th when it passed a continuing resolution last month. It funded itself for all of 2017. Yet some executive branch accounts also got full-year funding, something contractors ought to know about. Joining me with more, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And I was surprised to see that, as you've pointed out, Larry, that some parts of the government did get their full 2017 budgets. What are they?
Tom, probably the biggest one for your listeners is the Department of Veterans Affairs. They have their full-year appropriation for the 2017 fiscal year. In addition, as you mentioned in the introduction, legislative branch has its full appropriation. So if you want to have an opportunity to do sales with Congress, that's good news, although I would suggest you wait until after the election.
Does Congress buy anything?
Congress does buy a lot of office equipment, a lot of printers, a lot of furniture, things of that nature. They probably won't be buying it, though, until January at the earliest.
That's true. If you prowl the basement hallways of the congressional office buildings, you do see a lot of shrink-wrapped copiers and printers.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And they all have computers. They all have needs for supplies. It can be a good market. But in addition to Congress, Tom, anything that has to do with military construction, the Military Construction Appropriations Bill was part of the package that passed. So all DOD entities that work in military construction, they have their full FY17 funds as well. And what that really means is for those agencies, they can plan better. They can work with their contractors to develop longer-term projects, and they can initiate new projects now because they have new money that allows them to do that. Whereas if you're an agency that's operating under a continuing resolution, you are basically authorized just to keep doing what you were doing last year. You can't start anything new.
So under military construction, what are typical of those types of projects? I mean, housing, I imagine, is a big ticket item.
Housing is a big part of it. It's anything that has to do with physical structures, bases that the military has, base hospitals that the military might run. Military construction does not, Tom, get into construction of weapon systems and things of that nature. It very much is construction in the classical sense of physical buildings, houses, facilities, things of that nature.
And so that could pull along some electronics manufacturers for wiring and cable systems and so forth.
Well, it certainly could. In all of these buildings that are going to be either built or renovated, typically a lot of times what happens, Tom, is a general contractor will be hired, in this case by the Department of Defense, to put together a total solution. And that total solution often includes rewiring. It could involve some elements of a new IT infrastructure. It could further mean new things like furniture and lamps and carpets. So it depends on the nature of the specific project, but it certainly wouldn't be unheard of for a general contractor to be hired to turn over a turnkey, ready-to-go new building for a Department of Defense entity paid for with military construction funds.
And at Veterans Affairs, of course, you've got a major purchasing organization, a big department, and they buy across the board, IT, drugs, construction, supplies of every nature.
VA, one of the largest buying agencies in the federal government, one that Congress, both parties, believe is important for them to have stable funding. That's one of the reasons why the VA appropriations bill was included in the package that kept the government open. As you point out, they buy a lot of things. The cautionary tale that I always provide for contractors, Tom, is look, a lot of VA projects come with a relatively high public profile, so be aware of the arena in which you're doing business. There are going to be constituencies that care greatly whether or not your project is completed on time and on budget, and you want to make sure that you don't give them any reason to suggest that perhaps you're president or CEO should go explain what's happening to one of the congressional oversight committees.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And switching gear for a moment to something else on your blog is a subject that we have reported at Federal News Radio, and that is Oracle leaving the GSA schedules. You're an expert in GSA schedule and schedule sales. Is this long-lasting, do you think, and what will the impact be?
Well, I think that we're still a week later now, waiting to see who might follow Oracle out the door. But I think there will be other people who follow them out the door. In fact, Tom, it's important to understand that there were some companies that preceded Oracle out the door of the schedules program over this exact same issue, i.e., exposure to False Claims Act allegations that many people across the public contract community believe have gotten out of hand, people who believe that the False Claims Act is now used as a tool to get leverage on a company that might have a legitimate complaint about how the government is holding up to its end of a bargain in a particular contract. So we know that Oracle, very high-profile company, there have been some other IT companies. I'd be surprised, frankly, right now, if every major IT company that has a schedule presence wasn't looking at this issue right now. There's certainly risk attendant with continuing on in the schedules program. If you have substantial sales, you're a higher target for being a whistleblower victim, if you will. You are more likely for a regular GSA audit that could lead to one of these investigations. So right now, what I'm telling GSA is that you're like a playoff team that holds the its destiny in its hands, Tom. But if you want to continue to have that status, you better change the way you work with the IG community on the False Claims Act, or you could have people outside your program making choices for you that in the end significantly decrease the usefulness and spread of the schedule contract.
Now, people on the schedule that don't do much business really don't have as much exposure to False Claims Act. I think the irony here is that Oracle was a huge seller through the schedules.
That's very true in the IT world, and that was part of Oracle's strategy and, frankly, the part of other strategies of similar companies that have made the same decision. You have NASA Soup, where you can get a lot of products. You have other GWACs. You have the CIO-CS contract at NIH. You have specific MAC contracts, the Army, Navy, and Air Force. So in the IT world, there are ready-made alternatives to the schedules program that allow agencies access to the types of services they need.
There's even other GSA GWACs.
Like Alliant or Oasis. Both of those have some elements of the IT-70 schedule in common. The difference is that it's only the schedules program that has this False Claims Act issue in it, where companies try their best in many cases only to get tagged up by missing something, usually a small piece along the way of what they were supposed to turn in. It's an anachronistic system, Tom, that was set up in a time before certain companies, particularly those in the IT arena, had fluid pricing, where pricing could change hourly in some cases. So maintaining an anachronistic system in a market that's moved past that dynamic is really setting up companies to fail, and it doesn't really have any basis in today's reality in terms of how business in the IT sector is actually transacted. So one of the things I've recommended to GSA is that they move their systems into the 21st century and get away from the commercial sales practices sheets that is at the core of what's getting everybody in trouble.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, I appreciate the time, and I wish your listeners happy selling.